The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. Quarter after eight, Captain Bill Simpson here. Of course, a naturalist, wild horse fire brigade guy, but he's keeping an eye on what the Congress critters are up to in this particular case, Senator Wyden. Bill, welcome back. Always good to hear from you. How are things in the Iron Gate? And did you go get a autograph with Annie Toosome Newsome Gruesome over there, your governor, over at the Iron Gate? What happened there, huh?
Good morning, Bill. No, we just, I talked to one of the security detail, and they said, yeah, he was up there looking around, and, you know, it is what it is. The dams are gone. We lost our water, which brings me to the point of wildfire and prescribed burns, and, you know, we've got a real serious problem without the water in these lakes. You know, the problem we see here quite often is people forget even the immediate past. I mean, 2 years ago, we almost lost the city of Wairika to a fire. The fire was coming up over the ridge. I mean, we came close.
Yeah, what was that?
Wairika.
Yeah, which one was that called? What was that called? And then there was
we had the big McKinney fire, which I think ended up at 66,000 acres.
And by the way, what was the fire that took Weed, that really hit Weed a number of years ago? I remember we were gathering
Dunsmuir? The fire, the mill fire that wiped out a historic black community there. And 300 homes, if I recall correctly, were destroyed and displaced this community. And, you know, it's a nightmare because people can't get insurance. And when you lose everything right down to your toothbrush and your underwear, how do you continue with your life? And then you've been impacted by the smoke and you know, you have nowhere to live. And FEMA says, oh, we'll help you here. Here's $500. Good luck.
It's a pretty thin gruel in the grand scheme of things, which brings us to Senator Sylvester Ron Wyden, his brand new bill that he is pushing that you are writing about. And I'd love to hear more about this one. It's called what is it? The Burn America? Or what's it actually called? What's the term?
The bill is I'm looking right at it here. It's in the 118th Congress, and it's a bill to spend $300 million to increase the use of prescribed burning across the national forest landscape.
Oh yeah, I just found it. The National Prescribed Fire Act of 2024 is what he's proposing.
There you go.
That's what.
That's
it.
And so, you know, here's the thing. Okay, first of all, this is just under the color of environmentalism. Wyden and some of the environmental groups that are all, you know, supportive of this, the Nature Conservancy and people like that, are not paying attention to the new science on prescribed burning. The collapse of the herbivory, they just somehow can't get that through their thick skulls. We're down to about 2.5 million large body herbivores in Oregon and California.
And so instead of nature's lawnmowers, we're going to hire tons and tons of Democratic operatives with drip torches and going out and burning on behalf of herbivory, right?
Right. Well,
is that kind of the plan?
Yeah.
What they would be looking
That's what they're hoping for, I think. But, you know, I think we need to focus. I want to contrast the solution against his problem that he's going to create. He's going to enhance the problem with this bill.
How so?
So the situation is the herbivory has collapsed. That's just a plain fact. And that creates prodigious fuel, which is very important to understand. We have abnormal levels of fuel right now. It's not the same fuel load on the landscape that when indigenous people were making small burns. Or when, you know, 40, 50 years ago when we used to burn slash piles and do things like that, logging. This is a whole new game. It's a whole brand new ball game now. So,
okay, what makes the grass and the fuel load different now, Captain William E. Simpson, rather than what you were talking about referencing just a few years ago, a few decades back?
Yeah, back then we had 2.5 million more deer in Oregon and California, and they were grazing down almost 3 million tons of annual grass and brush. So that all that grass and brush is out there. So the problem we have now when people talk about prescribed burning is it's going to burn abnormally hot. It's not going to burn the way it used to. It's going to burn. So prescribed burns and even the resource management plan on the updated monument. If you look in the sections on fire, and they talk about prescribed burning in their resource management plan, and they say, well, prescribed burning would be good, but we have to pre-treat the fuel, because if we burn it the way it is, it will damage the ecosystem.
Wow.
That's the point. That's the point right there. There's too much fuel to engage in prescribed burning, number one. That's just the beginning of it. Number two is we have two brand new shiny studies from Desert Research Institute and from the College of Graduate Studies at the University of Idaho that talk about the fact that prescribed burning under these conditions that we have now with this excessive fuel because of the collapsed herbivory damages the soil and actually reduces the productivity of the forest. It removes the cover crop, the organic material that increases water infiltration and enhances the aquifer during the rainy season. When you do prescribed burning in these conditions, you enhance erosion. Studies show erosion is 10 to 26 times worse than under normal conditions of erosion and heavy rain. So after one of these new prescribed burns or a fire, we're looking at this amazing amount of erosion, just like we saw with the McKinney fire. It killed 75 miles of dead fish in the Klamath River after the erosion event there. Rain came after the fire, mm-hmm. took away all the soil. This is just a crazy idea by people who do not understand science.
But Nature's Conservancy is in favor of this Senator Wyden, Burn America plan, isn't it?
Yeah. Nature Conservancy, and of course they want to buy everybody off the land and convert it over to, where nobody can use it, basically. Look mm-hmm. at the monument. Joel Brum got involved, testified in front of Jackson County Commission in 2016. Oh, we're going to shut down 164 miles of access road that use to recreate and deal with fire and all that. And also, if you need to do any forest maintenance. So the point of that is he went to the Jackson County, said, oh, we don't have the money to maintain the roads. And then they turn right around and spend more money decommissioning the roads than it would have cost to maintain them for a decade. It's just a spin job by these people. And, oh, by the way, speaking of Mr. Joel Brum, we were gearing up to possibly bring a litigation against the BLM and the Friends of Cascade Siskiyou National Monument, because they had a former BLM assistant manager as an advisory on their nonprofit board and a serving assistant monument manager on their board. So this nonprofit, the Friends of the Cascade Siskiyou National Monument, had this very cozy relationship and communications and policy influence more than anybody else should have a right to.
Is this more of that, what we've been talking about in the environmental / government agency relationship, more of the predetermined outcome kind of situation? The predetermined outcome is that we're going to burn in this particular case?
Well, I don't know. I don't know what their stance is particularly on prescribed burning. They don't have
okay.
a big section on that. But what they do is they do have an unreasonable and unfair amount of influence into the BLM office in Medford.
In other words, they're considered a more important stakeholder than actual residents who live around here.
More important than other nonprofits that are actually doing it, like my nonprofit. I didn't see Friends of the Cascade Siskiyou National Monument on the fire line for the 9 days I was there. I put my skin on the line because I love the trees and the wildlife up there.
Sure.
I didn't see them up there. No, uh-uh. I didn't see Joel Brum up there until 3 days after the fire when he forgot to open the gate. And fire guys we had no escape route to the north because, they didn't show up to open the gates and they knew the fire was on the way to the monument. Come on. So here's the problem we have, and that's against the law, by the way. There's a federal law that says that if you're a serving government agent on a certain agency and you're also involved with a nonprofit that has policy influence to the agency where you work, that's a conflict of interest. And so here's the funny thing. Our lawyers were getting FOIA on the emails between Joel Brum and the Friends of the Cascade Siskiyou National Monument. And during last year, during that period, all of a sudden they took Joel Brum off of their advisory board on their website. He disappeared.
Yeah, they knew. They knew they were caught, in other words. Okay.
Yeah, we have pictures. So we got screenshots of it. So this isn't hearsay. We've got the hard evidence. We got screenshots of their website.
So let me just take it back here. Captain William E. Simpson, of course, we know him most famously for Wild Horse Fire Brigade, among other issues that he has been working. And you have been a big fan of restoring herbivory nature's lawnmowers in order to take down a lot of this fuel. What role does prescribed burning, in your opinion, most properly play? And contrast that with what Senator Wyden's prescribed Burn America, you know, plan of 2024 would do. Could you maybe contrast what would be a good way to use prescribed burning? Because it's probably a good tool in some particular cases. They've been doing a lot of it around here in the valley, the last few weeks, trying to take care of the watershed and things. But maybe they're doing it differently. What do you think?
Yeah, well, you have to be very careful where you apply it. And in the scheme of things, we're talking millions of acres choked with grass and brush fuel. In the scheme of things, nobody's going to go out there and burn 30 million acres in Oregon and California. You know, we've got 93 million acres in California, 45 million acres in Oregon. We probably have at least 20 million acres of remote areas choked with wildfire fuels.
And in other words, it's so heavy that you can't really just do a prescribed burn. When they talk about pre-treating it, what does that mean? Does that mean like hand removal or mechanical removal?
Yeah, that means going in there and weed whacking and cutting and brush piling.
Okay.
And here's the fun thing about that. They talk about doing that on the monument. Well, on their own RMP, the Range and Resource Management Plan, you read it, the draft that they have right now, they say, oh, yeah, in 74 years, they actually start calculating in 1945 in the plan. They have a little table. From 1945 to 1922, they weed whacked and brush piled and did stuff, a total of 9,700 acres cumulative, not repetitive, cumulative. 9,000 acres out of 113,000 acres. So when you look at that, 74 years.
In other words, there aren't enough weed whackers and people with drip torches to hire to do that level of management. Is that kind of what I'm hearing? Or I'm using
that and the fact that it's just not advised. You know, they use these pejorative terms, you know, prescribed fire or, you know, good fire. You know, there is no more good fire because we've lost the herbivory. When you have a fire now, it burns catastrophically hot, and it damages the landscape and the soil. I mean, it basically pasteurizes your soil down 7 to 10 inches. That's a proven fact. Kills the microbiome. You get hydrophobic layers, which repel water. So when you have a rain, the topsoil runs off into the stream.
Oh, yeah, it's kind of crusty, right? It doesn't really perk, right?
Yeah, it's like a layer of Bisqueen, half inch under the topsoil.
Yeah, I've seen that.
So anyway, the point is this, okay, there's very few places where you could actually intelligently apply any kind of prescribed fire, okay?
Does it work around here in the valley like I've been talking about in some of these areas near Ashland?
There's alternatives now. I mean, you could use goats in some of these places. You could use, you know, there's probably places where you could use weed whackers, you know, The problem is when you're prescribed burning in the winter, it's the only time we have clean air to breathe. I mean, all summer we're choking on fire.
But you see, there you go. That is the statement here. That is the statement. The one time that they can really do prescribed burning is, in other words, just keeping pollution 24/7, 365 is essentially what the Wyden bill would be, I guess, pushing, right? Obviously, essentially.
Yeah, and instead of... Yeah, and the thing is this, okay, we know this smoke, even in diffuse levels, causes lung, all kinds of allergies. I mean, the science coming out on the health impacts of any amount of smoke is not good, okay? So we would be smarter to spend $300 million reestablishing the herbivory, and we could start by filling the grazing gap by removing horses where they're in conflict with grazing. You know, like in Nevada. Nevada has 2/3 of all America's wild horses. It's ridiculous to have them all in one state like that. Move some of these horses to where there's no competition with commercial enterprise, like in the deep, deep wilderness where they belong. That fills some of the grazing gap, and then spend all that money to reestablish our deer herds and reestablish the herbivory, because then you'll have reduced fuel, and then you could engage. And then when we have a fire, a lightning or whatever, or arson, I don't care how it starts. When you have a fire, it's going to burn low and slow. So it's not going to devastate the soil and the trees and all of that other stuff.
Now, it took us many decades to get to this serious overload. How long do you think it would take to restore herbivory, in your opinion?
It depends. It depends on how aggressive we get. You know, I mean, $300 million applied in the right way to reestablish herbivory, that could do a lot as far as bringing back, you know, it's a combination of things. We probably need to reduce the amount of honey. We need to let the deer breed and let the populations come up. We need to be, you know, maybe we might need some wildlife overpasses like they have in Montana, you know, to keep so many deer, you know, on these deer crossing to keep from being annihilated on the road. There's things we could do that are intelligent, that are cost effective, that have immediate, demonstrable, proven results instead of like doubling down on a failed model that science says is going to do more damage than good.
I find it interesting how they have you noticed how they seem to be pushing, they being the narrative, seems to be so much, Bill, about, well, we've learned so much from Native Americans, except that Native Americans didn't burn their landscape. They didn't, you know, just do a wholesale burning of their landscape, right? I mean, I think that's one
they
of
the... They were burning hundreds of acres, not millions of acres. I mean, and keep in mind, when this was a major practice with the indigenous 200-300 years ago, we had 100 million more herbivores in the landscape, meaning the grass and the brush was managed much, much better than today. So
Got
the
it.
Fires weren't crazy big. So, see, people need to put it all in perspective. Interdisciplinary communication between the silviculturists and the hydrologists and the foresters. There's a whole paper about how bad the interdisciplinary communications are. People are not truly collaborating. And then you got these nonprofits who step in with unreasonable levels of influence, narrating this stuff, and then sending propaganda out to the public and misinforming the public.
And that's why your latest article is Money Driving the Rush to Burn America. And I would dare say, yeah, there is. Because, you know, people will argue for whatever benefits them economically. And if you're someone who is involved in that industry, damn right you're going to say it's time to burn. I would guess.
People, it's funny what people will do for a paycheck and a pension, you know, and they're penny wise and pound foolish. They're not thinking in terms of what happens, you know, in the next 20 years. Do we even have any forests left if we keep up at this rate? You know, and what happens to the wildlife and what happens to the watershed? You know, we have to be smart. We're in deep, deep trouble right now. And all this crap going on under the color of environmentalism has to be called into question. It has to get flogged in the public media. I mean, we have to go after these people because this is just wrong. This is absolutely incorrect. It's a bad application. There's no way he should even bring a bill like that to the floor. I mean, I don't know what people are thinking. You know, it's just so illogical.
Well, part of it, I honestly think here, Bill, and since this is Conspiracy Theory Thursday, it's my belief that ultimately a lot of what is considered or called environmental planning or environmental policy is about driving people out of the area and making it so that and putting a pollution load or a smoke load or whatever the case might be, that you're not able to do your sustainable tourism. You're not able to do a living. You're not able to farm. You're not able to graze. I think it's all part of that globalist plan. And I know that I sound like a conspiratorial nut job, but I'm sticking to that. Where can people find this latest article of yours? It's very thought-provoking. It really is. Where do we go?
Thank you. Well, it's been submitted to the California Globe down and also to Siskiyou News.
Okay, so we can probably find it on both of those. I'm going to put it on the blog today, too, if you don't mind. It's okay. All right?
That's fine. Yeah, you've got a copy of it. But we've got to get, you know, people need to pay attention, you know, collect your information, look for the real science. Don't just take their word for it because, you know, look at what's happening with our monument. Mm-hmm. You have Cascade Siskiyou, the Friends of Cascade Siskiyou Monument, basically telling people they have a page on how to comment. And they're saying that we need to end logging, reduce the roads, buy more land around the monument, you know, prescribe burning. You know, they don't talk about anything that would actually save the monument. And they want to end all grazing. So, and that's, you know, without fire grazing in the monument and no lakes, guess what? If the monument catches on fire, and Dave Larson told me this, and he knows his stuff, you know, he's your forest manager there in Southern Oregon. He said if that monument, it's a box of stick matches. He said if that catches on fire, it will burn, and the winds on it from the south or the west components, it'll burn all the way to Ashland. And Ashland's a stick-built town. If they think Paradise was bad, wait till they see what happens. If we lose the monument, it could take out Ashland.
All right. And point well taken on that. Bill, always appreciate the thought provoking. All right. Thanks so much.
Thank you, sir.
And we'll have you back, and hopefully we get that up on California Globe and Siskiyou.news, but I think people need to read it, okay? I'll put it up. You be well. It is 8:35. Captain William E. Simpson. This is the Bill Myers Show.
The best technology should make the world more beautiful, life more rewarding, and pull people closer. And the very best tech does all this without harming the planet. Timber Tech Decking. The best performing, longest lasting, and most lifelike look of real wood. Because the best deck naturally comes from the best tech. Timber Tech. Go against the grain. Hughes Lumber Timber Tech sale is going on now. Don't miss out.
Hi, this is Bill Meyer, and I'm with Charisse from No Wires Now, your Dish Premier local retailer. It's time to switch to Dish.
If you have DirecTV or cable TV, call me today to see how I can save you money. Plus, I'll lower your internet and cell phone bills.
And those offers in the mail from Dish, you can go through No Wires Now for those.
Call me at 541-680-5875.
Call Charisse like I did or visit their showroom off Biddle Road in Medford, nowiresnow.com. Restrictions apply. Call for details. Internet and cell phone service not provided. By Dish.
We've heard it all.
Apparently, those larger tires don't provide more clearance.
It was a really big bird. Might have been a pterodactyl.
I should have screwed that tool shelf in the garage to the wall.
But the reason you need auto body repair doesn't matter to us as much as making your car look new again, and the process easy for you. At Lithia Body and Paint, we've been getting Southern Oregon drivers back on the road since 1946. Speed, service, accuracy. That's Lithia Body and Paint on Bullock Road in Medford.
Is your business or personal tax return under IRS audit? Tell the IRS First Response Resolution has got it. First Response Resolution in Eagle Point, your local tax resolution experts. Visit firstresponseirs.com and talk to Zach in Eagle Point. He'll defend your rights as a taxpayer.
106.3 KMED. This is the Bill Myers Show.
8:37, some heavy-duty talk on Conspiracy Theory Thursday, which means that we'll break for news and then your calls, whatever's on your mind. Have at it. 770-5633. We need a dad joke, too. We'll get that coming up here. Doug Dean sent a great dad joke. It just made me laugh. But anyway, I'll share that with you here. Well, why don't I just share it right now? Okay? All right. It's been so heavy. Such heavy stuff talking about Ashley Babbitt, January 6th, you know, burning the forest, et cetera, et cetera. And let's do a dad joke of the day. Dad joke of the day is sponsored there by Two Dogs Fabricating on Bryan Way off Sage Road in Medford. Now, Doug submits a lot of these jokes, but if you have a better one, go to twodogsfab.com, email it to them, and maybe you'll hear it on my show, all right? They have a great sense of humor over there. By the way, prepare for fire season with their custom-made aluminum mount, top mount forestry racks for their vans. And they make those especially for carrying firefighting gear. And if you're getting ready for all the touring or camping this summer, they can do any kind of hitch or tongue repair for the upcoming camping season for a season for your RV or for your trailer. They'll also build custom diamond plate battery boxes. That's a nice way to store the battery, keep it protected from weather, and it looks pretty sharp there too. Okay? All right. At Doug's dad joke, I had to laugh this morning. He says, a pirate's walking around town with a steering wheel down his pants, and finally someone says, hey, isn't that steering wheel down your pants uncomfortable? And the pirate answers, arg, right, matey, it drives me nuts. Okay. That's one of my favorite ones so far, Doug. Really, it's 8:38, okay?
Bi-Coastal Media's 2024 Best of Southern Oregon Magazine, presented by Dusty's Transmissions, is publishing in July. Thank you to all of our winners and advertisers who will appear in the coming edition. In the meantime, you can visit bestofsouthernoregon.com to flip through the current magazine and find all of Southern Oregon's best suppliers of goods and services. Also, please email rvcontact@bicoastal.media if your business is interested in being a pickup location for the 2024 Best of Southern Oregon Magazine.
News is sponsored by Valley View Nursery, your only nursery with online pricing. Visit valleyviewnursery.com. They're closer than you think.
With SRN News, I'm Jeremy House in Washington. President Biden participated in ceremonies in France marking the 80th anniversary of the D-Day invasion that helped end World War II in Europe. Mr. Biden said the largest amphibious assault in history was a reminder of the power of alliances. Jurors in Hunter Biden's criminal trial in Delaware are hearing more today from the former gun store clerk who sold him the .38-caliber Colt revolver at the center of the case. Federal prosecutors argue Hunter Biden was in the throes of a heavy crack addiction when he bought the gun and accuse him of lying on the form. The European Central Bank cut its key interest rate by a quarter point, moving ahead of the U.S. Federal Reserve, as central banks around the world lean toward lowering borrowing costs. On Wall Street, the Dow's up 63.5 points. More details at srnnews.com.
840. World is in an interesting time. Interesting times. I know that the Asians used the term this, may you live in interesting times. Kind of a curse, actually. Well, let's try to make it a little less interesting. The way you can make it a little less interesting is when you look at all the crazy push toward war and profligate spending and, fiat currencies going down to zero. Get some physical gold and silver in there. Talk to my friends at J. Austin & Company, gold and silver buyers. They'd love to talk with you about it today. Yeah, you can do everything online if you want at fortunereserve.com, but better yet, go there and talk with them. They're one of my oldest sponsors here and well worth you talking to understand these markets and the best way to go about getting some financial insurance, as it were, okay? Go to 1632 Ashland Street in Ashland. Talk with Marco Andrea there, or you can call 482-3715, and you can make an appointment for the 6th and G shop in downtown Grants Pass. Great place either way. And if you're looking for gold or silver or selling gold or silver, diamonds, collectible banknotes, and so many other things, maybe you have an estate that you're working to try to get some things with some precious stones sold at a good value for, talk to Jay Austin. Jay Austin, the recognized experts in Ashland and Grants Pass. JayAustinBrokers.com, GrantsPassCoins.com, and FortuneReserve.com.
This hour of the Bill Myers Show is brought to you by Johnson Builders, Southern Oregon's leading authority on post-frame and steel buildings for over 20 years.
American Rancher Garage, United in Service.
American Rancher Garage services most vehicles and offers state-of-the-art amenities, affordable pricing, and prompt service you can trust. If you're looking for a reliable, full-service automotive repair shop that provides old-fashioned service to keep you and your busy life moving, you've found it right here, just across the street from Elmer's on Biddle. Call, stop by, or text us through our website at AmericanRancher.com. 541-499-6673. American Rancher Garage, we are united through service.
At Pressure Point Roofing, our dedicated team of repair and maintenance professionals work on hundreds of roofs a year. We can see where problems can start on your home or commercial property. We have the years of experience and commitment to quality that you need to protect your home or business. Having an annual inspection can prevent you from suffering through the damage, stress, and costs of an interior repair. Just like your car's oil change, preventative work can save you money and headaches. To schedule a repair and inspection, or to learn more how a maintenance program can help you, visit PressurePointRoofing.com.
106.3 KMED, and this is the Bill Myers Show.
8:43, open phones on Conspiracy Theory Thursday. I have not one, but two Brads to talk to this morning. We'll talk to Brad number three on line three. Hello, Brad. How you doing this morning? What are you thinking?
Hey, are you talking to me, Bill?
I'm talking to you, Brad.
Okay, I wanted to call. I've been into your office and had... been on the air with you about the monuments.
Yes.
I'm the hunter that goes way down in the monument.
Yeah.
And everything the captain says about Joel Brum and him being on the advisory board, Friends of the Cascade National Monument, is all true. We filed a complaint with the BLM in Washington, D.C., and said that was a conflict of interest.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when Joel Brum says it's not a conflict of interest. Well, if he was on the advisory board of the Oregon Hunters Association, I bet it'd be a conflict of interest.
Oh, absolutely it would be.
So
it would be, Brad.
We went over top of Joel Brum's head, and we went to Washington, D.C., to the committee that makes sure our monuments are managed correctly. And they had Joel Brum and the culture lady go for a hike with me and my hunt partner way down in the monument. Joel Brum has never been into the monument past Pacific Crest Trailhead at that time. That's all he worries about, that Pacific Crest Trailhead. We took him into an Indian cultural lady for about an eight-hour hike down there, and he goes, I'm amazed. I didn't even know this here. He doesn't even know the monument. He'd never been past the Pacific Crest Trailhead. All he worries about is those trailhead people. So when they wanted to make a new travel management plan, their meeting was set up at 1 o'clock in the afternoon in Ashland. I go, Joel, how can working people go to this? Then when you go to the 1 o'clock meeting in Ashland, it's all retired California people. Oh, close everything down, everything. So what Captain Bills is saying is all true about Joel Brum. And he's just an interim monument manager. He is not, they never have had a permanent monument manager. But I do have the email numbers. If the captain would like to get a hold of me, you can go right to Washington, D.C. and meet with the committee. And they're very, very helpful people. They're the ones that made Joel Brum go for a hike with us.
All right, Brad, if you could email that to me, please, bill@billmeyershow.com. Thank you for sharing your experience with Joel. I don't have any personal axe to grind here, but I'm sorry if you're right. If you had a BLM manager on the Friends of the Cascade Siskiyou Monument, that is an undue influence, and it is a thumb on the scale and needs to be repaired. Although he's off it now, you could still see where the juice is coming in his world. I appreciate the call. Let me go to Brad Bennington. Hey, Brad, what's going on in your world today, huh? Welcome.
Bill, good morning. Great show this morning.
Thank you. We're having fun.
Today, of course, is the 80th anniversary of America's Greatest Generation saving the world, the largest mobilization of men and equipment in the history of humankind. Our nation went and saved a people on a continent that we weren't even on.
And by the way, I would also add that probably the largest up to that point worldwide prayer that was issued with Roosevelt, you know, invocating, you know, this on his radio address about D-Day 2. It's interesting when you think back to everything that was mobilized. It is astounding to look at the men and the materiel and the logistics involved in something like this. And also, you know, you watch those documentaries and you see those young men, actually most of them barely boys off the farm a lot of times out of the...
My dad was one of them.
Yeah, out of the farms. And they're sitting on the boats, on the amphibious boats, and they're sitting on their own body bags. Isn't it amazing to think about that? That was part of the equipment there?
It was amazing. So yeah. my dad volunteered, U.S. Army Air Corps, managed to survive it. But when you talk about winning that war, Bill, it was people like just normal people like you and me working in the factories. One of the main bombers that brought victory in that war was the B-24. The B-24, when they first started in the first year of manufacture, they only produced a handful. And what really made the difference was when automobile manufacturers completely retooled their plants to the point where at Henry Ford's Willow Run plant in Michigan, they got to the point where they could produce a flyable aircraft. And this is amazing. Think about this. One flyable B-24 aircraft every 63 minutes.
That's an amazing technological accomplishment for that day.
Yeah, there were less than 100 B-24s built in their first year of production, but by the time the Willow plant came online and in the years following, they produced 18,000 copies of that aircraft. That aircraft and those hardworking automobile workers, you know, going from producing cars to producing flyable bombers is what really won the war.
Does it give you pause to think about trying to do something like that today?
Oh, it never happened. It had never happened today. I mean, what we had is we had people that know how to make sense. We had, you know, captains of industry that sat down with our government. Our government, you know, when we started World War II, do you know what most of our soldiers were operating for transportation? Horses. And the reason I know that is that my grandfather was a horse rancher. By the way, my grandfather's property is right where Bill Simpson is. A lot of the property that he's talking about with herbivores, a lot of those herbivores were probably raised by my grandfather back in the day.
No kidding.
So, and I'm not kidding a bit. My grandfather's biggest customer was the U.S. Army. He raised greenbroke horses for the U.S. Army.
Yeah. Well, it was a total transformation into mechanized warfare in that war.
It was. Mm-hmm. It was, and it never would have happened without the captains of American industry getting involved. And it was an amazing effort.
Thank you for the look back on that. Thank you for the look back and your family's contribution to that, Brad. I really appreciate that. Good story. All right. It is 8:49. Let me continue on because it is open phones on Conspiracy Theory Thursday, and what Brad's talking about was a conspiracy of monumental proportions to get us all together and in line on that. Hello, Joel. How are you?
Yeah, great. Well, I was going to say God bless all those folks that gave their life to save our butts. And all I can say is these woke knuckleheads have no idea what they're talking about, and they wouldn't be here if it wasn't for them, you know?
Point well taken. Anything else on your mind here?
Well, I was going to say, I missed the part about Gavin Newsom, but I doubt.
Oh, okay. Well, he wasn't able to get close, apparently. There was a security detail and was not able to, you know, jump in there, okay? Just so you know. You know, someone had to protect the hair gel from any kind of violence, okay?
Yeah, ripple. Oh, I was going to say real quick.
Okay.
I talked to Mark at our gold and
at Jay Austin.
Silver.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he told me that if I bring in freshly dredged gold nuggets, that he'll pay 75% of spot.
You know, 75% of spot's great because they'll still have to get it refined. But that's great. That's still good. Yeah. 75% of what, 2350, 2400? That's not bad.
Yeah. Put some gas in the tank.
Yeah, we'll go out there and pan for some gold there, all right?
All right.
God bless
everybody.
God bless you too, Joel. Take care. 770-5633. We'll grab a couple more calls. Hi, who's this? Good morning. Welcome. Hello?
Me?
Yeah, it's you. Go ahead.
Good morning. This is Gino. I want to tell you a quick story about the mafia in New Jersey.
Okay.
So I had a friend back there years and years and years and years ago. And he told this story. After he put his new retail shop in, it was successively robbed 3 times, cleared out to the bare wall.
Oh, boy.
The insurance company said at the third time, listen, we're not going to do this again. We don't know what's going on. So in his very thick New Jersey accent, he says, yeah, he says, I knew that in order to save my business, he said, I was sitting across the street in a dark alley in my Cadillac. I had a thermos of coffee. I had my 35-millimeter camera. And my 45-millimeter, he says, right?
Uh-huh. 45 caliber, yeah.
Yeah, so he finds out, long story shorter, it turns out that it was the cops that were stealing.
Oh, great.
So he went and funded, there's a whole much more funny to this story, but he went and funded the candidate that was in opposition to the group that was already in power. And he funded him because he found out he did a dossier on the guy and he found that he was clean. They funded him through 2 elections, and then he went to the third election, which this guy could not go in because he was clean. And he said, who should we put up next? My friend said, who should we put up next? And the politician said, there's nobody we can get elected. It's their turn. It turned out that every once in a while they had a flush out. And then they'd put in some more criminals, and then they'd flush it out, and they'd put in some more. It was like a harvest, like a culling. Every 4, 6, 8 years, a new group would come in and take over.
Yeah, and when you talk about a new group, or you talk about the group that would say, hey, Gino, you know, got a nice fur coat here. It fell off the back of a truck once.
Well, no, it's even more insidious than that. My grandfather had a shoe shop in what they called Hell's Kitchen, New York City, in the late 30s. And the mafia came in and told him that he had a nice store and it would sure be a shame if somebody broke it all up. So he pulled out a gun and shot him.
Oh, yikes.
When the judge banged the gavel and convicted those guys for 6 months in jail for running a protection racket, Grandpa said, what am I going to do when they get out? And the 1930s judge said, you should have thought of that when you shot him and aimed a little higher.
Grandpa packed
the family up in a flatbed wagon and drove out to the woods in New Jersey.
Yeah.
To get away from the mafia.
Oh, that's wild. Great story. Thanks for sharing it on Conspiracy Theory Thursday. My only experience with mafia is when the family went to Niagara Falls in 1970. We had a 1971 Pinto that we just got. My father had been laid off. The only time he got laid off, I think, the time. And it was, but he says, we're going to drive across Canada. We do this in a 1971 Pinto. We didn't blow up, frankly. But at some point, after going to the to Niagara Falls, we ended up finding ourselves in New Jersey, where Gino was talking about. And there was a nice Italian restaurant, Everything's, mauve, deep red. And you got the maitre d' and everybody's in a monkey suit and they're pouring your water every time. And then the Major D came up to my father, and of course, we're well-behaved kids. He says, you have a very nice family. You have a very nice family. We just wanted to say this. And my dad was saying later, like, I'm thinking to myself, yeah, you wouldn't want anything to happen to that family, right? But honestly, it was fine. Oddly enough, the Italian restaurant ended up burning down a week later. I'm sure it was just of perfectly natural causes. Let me grab one more call. Good morning. Hi, KMED and KBXG. Who's this? Hi there. Who's this? Go ahead. All right. One more time. Going once. Going twice. You got to listen to the phone. Got to listen to the phone. Okay, we'll wrap up phones for now.
Rise and shine with another ultimate breakfast experience from Artisan Bakery Cafe. You'll be wowed once again with their fresh baked croissant sandwiches. Fresh baked flaky croissants layered with your choice of ham and cheese, turkey pesto, bacon and egg, or sausage and egg. A breakfast sensation sure to give your day a jump start. Wait, there's more. Fresh baked bagel sandwiches toasted with cream cheese, bacon, egg, and cheddar. Order online at DoorDash or visit 1325 Center Drive across from South Fred Meyer.
American Rancher Garage services most vehicles and offers state-of-the-art amenities, affordable pricing, and prompt service you can trust. If you're looking for a reliable, full-service automotive repair shop that provides old-fashioned service to keep you and your busy life moving, you've found it right here, just across the street from Elmer's on Biddle. Call, stop by, or text us through our website at AmericanRancher.com. 541-499-6673. American Rancher Garage, we are united through service.
Whether you need a weathertight garage for your vehicles and toys, a functional workshop, an ideal barn for your horses, or an oversized covered riding arena, Johnson Builders has you covered. Choose from a variety of maintenance-free colors, warranted steel panel roofing and siding options, plus alternative finishes like stone, brick, or wood siding to match your aesthetic and functional requirements. Roofing material options, too. Visit Johnson.Builders.
Johnson Builders, building for your future.
Hi, I'm Jim with the Beauty Mark Salon and Glitter Bar, and I'm on KMED and KCMD.
857, emails of the day, and they're sponsored by Dr. Steve Nelson, Central Point Family Dentistry. Right next to the new Mazatlan Mexican restaurant in Central Point. They accept most dental plans, by the way. They offer one of their own if you don't have dental insurance. It's a lot like dental insurance, better benefits, fewer limitations. Talk to them about it. Get your appointment at centralpointfamilydentistry.com. An anonymous email of the day. This having to do with eliminating the political texts from WinRed and the other grifters that are in the system. Bill, since I absolutely hate getting texts that aren't personal, I either use my landline number, which we still have, or I change one digit on my cell number to make it look like a typo. I suppose that's sentencing someone else to get the abusive texts. Sometimes I just put in 541-555-5555. I don't get any texts from these morons. Hey, I appreciate the suggestion. I like that. And Terry writes in, Bill, I so agree with what Phil had to say in his email yesterday. I was aware President Trump can't save us. However, I think it is a step back. By back, I mean that what we consider the older generations remember. We've always known that those in control look out for themselves, but they haven't always stepped on us to get it. I believe President Trump has been stepped on enough that he is the person who can begin to clean up some of the craziness. But I believe that it's almost more important than Trump as our president is his vice president. We need someone who can get elected as president at the end of Trump's term and can continue the cleanup for another 8 years. 4 years is not enough time, but 12 years could make a huge difference. I really appreciate that, Terry and Wairika. And the email, by the way, is bill@billmyersshow.com. Appreciate all your commentary, all your emails. Read them all. We'll talk about some more of those tomorrow on Find Your Phone Friday. Mark Lee Van Camp and Robbins coming up on KMED, the jukebox on KCMD or KBXG.
Forte VIN 785766, MSRP 21645, Sol VIN 237299, MSRP 22140, 3500, due 10K miles per year, zero security deposit, all incentives and discounts to dealer, plus tax, title, license, 150 registration, processing fee, trading in a vehicle will not eliminate your debt. Negative equity applied to new loan balance, and 63024.
Thinking about a new ride? It's time to trade in, trade up, and save at Kia Medford during the